eczema's unrelenting itch and rash. If you know the feeling, you should know the facts. The eczema medication you're taking may not be right for you. Visit MyRawTruth.com and talk to your dermatologist about your symptoms and treatment options.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, everyone. This is JVL here with my best friend, Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark.
What's up, JVL?
Sarah, hey. Happy Friday.
Happy birthday, JVL.
Thank you.
It's such a classic thing for you where I had to find out it was your birthday from somebody else. And then I had to text Tim and you on our chain, which you ignored until the following day, to say happy birthday. What is it about you and birthdays? Are you just, do you keep a low profile? Do you not tell people?
I love birthdays. Huge birthday fan. I don't make a big deal about it externally, but like internally, we got an ice cream cake. Oh, ice cream cake.
It's my fave. Mm.
And it was absolutely lovely. And I wrote for myself a big birthday newsletter that nobody cared about.
Is this the Inshinification one?
It is.
I got to tell you, I read the whole thing. And
well, God love you, because that was a long one.
Yeah, it was, but it was good. It was good in that I thought it was a very fun or interesting, to the extent these things are fun, but it was a really interesting thing to tease that analogy out. My mind immediately went to all the ways in which I thought the analogy didn't quite work, but actually,
of course,
because I can't help it. But I thought the overall point was deeply worth wrestling with. I liked it considerably better than the Graham Platter one, which we can fight about behind the paywall.
Okay. I mean, I am happy to fight about it. Again, everybody has yelled at me for the Graham Platter piece.
Yes.
Because evidently people believe... The people who hate Platner believe that saying that what Platner is doing might be successful means that you want Platner and that you love Platner and that you think Nazis are great. And for the people who love Platner, if you don't say, I love Graham Platner, he's better than Katz, right? If you don't say that you love Graham Platner, then you are indistinguishable from Mitch McConnell. And so I'm just trying to do like an analytical, like take JVL's preferences out of this. What do we think analysis? And nobody cares about that, or nobody believes it.
I know you're not on Twitter. So I've been out there. I've been defending you mightily on Twitter, despite disagreeing with the piece of analysis. It certainly and clearly is a piece of analysis. It's just people don't read the piece. And so clear they don't read the piece, because like the front of it is this huge disclaimer about how it is not your preference. You're not arguing from preference. You know, you're just analyzing sort of what's going on. And then even in later, you're like, and I don't like this. Like, I don't like the populism of all of this. I've seen this movie before, because I do think that this is why, like, if Tim kind of says, like, why are people making Hassan Piker a litmus test? Or you say, if Graham Platner beats Susan Collins, does he sort of jump to the top of the conversation for 2028? You know, people just sort of, they don't like the idea that you're saying that people who have ideas that they hate and that maybe even we hate, right? And for us, right, because we've been so clear about our feelings about Trump and the garbage that he pumps into the system, like, the question is are we allowed to analyze other people who have lots of non-flat, like, I don't even know how to, because it depends on which person you're talking about, how aggressive I want to be about their level of badness or things that I think, like.
Many times I have analyzed something Donald Trump is doing and said, I think this is likely to be very successful. I don't think people think that I want that thing to succeed or that I think that thing is. Here's the deal. Like, I do not view the value proposition of my newsletter as telling people what I like and the things that I want and the things that I think would be best. I do that every once in a while. But normally, I do not deal in shoulds. I deal in wills. Like, what is going to happen, not what I want to happen. Believe me, what I want to happen almost never happens.
If I was arguing from preference, we'd spend a lot of time on debt and deficit reduction, guys. We'd spend a lot of time on education policy. But that is not the world we're living in. And I do think that's part of it is, and actually, when we go behind the paywall, we can have a longer discussion about that. But the part that I'm stumbling over, that I'm trying to get my arms around is, when you oppose Donald Trump, on moral grounds, as well as the grounds of he is illiberal, he is racist, he is sexist, he has he's a bad person who treats people terribly. Then, right, the rejoinder of you sort of can't be like, well, this guy has a Nazi tattoo, and oh well, but. Right? That from us, like us as us. And so I find the fact that he has this Totenkopf tattoo troubling. Very, very troubling. So he's covered it up. Right?
Sure.
But at the same time, I can also hold two other thoughts in my head. One is, it is possible, part of it is like, there's an open question about whether or not he sort of has lied about his knowledge of what it was. I've had trouble exactly tracking who said what. He had like a staffer that resigned over it. On one hand, Michelle Goldberg has a piece today in the New York Times. And let me ask you a question that gets at the Graham Platner thing.
Which we were going to do later. But go ahead. Ask the question. We'll tease it. It's okay. Go ahead.
Did you know before Graham Platner was a thing, right? A guy who none of us had heard of a year ago, who is now a big part of the discourse. Did you know what a Totenkopf was?
Kopf, not Kampf. Kampf is like struggle. Say, I'm just saying.
Sure. This is sort of my point.
I could not have told you the German name for it. If you showed me the symbol, I probably would have said, feels like I saw that a lot during World War II-ish. That doesn't feel like a pirate flag. That doesn't feel like a Punisher. Like, military guys get all... Not just military. Guys, young guys who think they're badasses get all sorts of stupid look-at-me tattoos. Oftentimes, they get Chinese characters, the meanings of which they have no idea.
Well, so
meanings of which are like, you know, like, I enjoy crab wontons, and they think this means honor and respect.
That is a little bit my point is I didn't know what it was. If I had just seen a dude on the beach with that on his chest, I would have had zero idea that it had any of that significance.
I would not have had zero idea. I would have looked at that and I would have thought that rings a bell.
Well, I remember being in Ohio when I was at Kenyon and going to like a gas station. And the guy there, when he was scooping my ice cream, he had a swastika. That is a symbol that I understand. And I got in a fight with this man when my friend was like, why are you fighting with this guy behind the ice cream? I was like, he's just got a Nazi tattoo while he's scooping my ice cream. I don't want that ice cream now. And so, you know, that is clear to me. I would say the Graham Platner stuff, I'm trying to tease apart a few different dynamics that I think are at play here. And I think one is not about Graham Platner. I think one is about us.
Okay.
Meaning we have taken a moral stand around illiberalism and around sort of horrible actors in our politics. And we have done that against Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Except for now that with her turnaround, but like, and Tucker Carlson and all of the Republicans who went along with Trump, right? That we have gone at the bulwark, and I hate it when people say the bulwark because we all think lots of different things. There's a whole podcast we're doing right now in which we argue about these things because we disagree often. But we all started out when we started this thing as folks on the center right of varying degrees. Mm-hmm. Some of you were magazine people. Some of us were political operatives. But we started out from the center right. And as we watched the Republican Party fall in line against Trump, right? We started out, we were never Trump. And then quickly we became sort of like, wait a minute, in this assault, you guys are just going along with this. And then it became clear that democracy, the rule of law, the way we do things in this country was under deep threat. And over time, we even moved on, I think, from the political piece of it to the higher order piece of it, which is liberal democracy is under assault from Trump and the people who are enabling him. And we're lining up against them, including all of you who run magazines and who used to believe in the conservative movement, who used to be people that we respected. We're watching every single one of you fall in line behind this guy. And we call bullshit on you. We think you are wrong morally, ethically, and intellectually, right? And some of the toughest fights we've had with people have been with people who, knowing how dangerous Trump is, knowing how bad Trump is, actually, they're also say it, but they refused to say, and so Democrats are preferable. And so we have spent the last 8 years or so really pummeling people for what we believe is a total lapse and collapse of the character counts ethos that used to dominate the conservative movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they succumbed to, they found all these ways to sort of like backfill for Trump, to carry water. Even if they said they were never Trump, they were there to be like, the anti-antis were there to be like, but we'll carry his water, but we'll say Democrats are worse, but we'll find rationalizations any way we can to justify what Trump is doing. And so what they're on a lookout for right now is any sniff of us doing that in reverse, right? I think like that's part of what this is about, is because we have been so clear about our moral lines and boundaries and we have accused them of being bad actors in this, they're like, oh, well, are you now saying it's okay for somebody of poor character to like be in office?
Yeah, I mean, I have a series of responses to this. The first of which, I just don't give a fuck what those people say.
No, they have no moral authority. But they're bad actors.
Like they're not. None of their critiques are ever made in good faith. Everything they do is like about narcissistic self-positioning, and like as if their position on the political spectrum is the most important thing. Secondly, I mean, I should make my preferences very clear. What I want is Mark Carney.
Yeah.
What I want is somebody who has like run the IMF and is a very smart economist who understands fiscal policy and is like really hard-headed and clear-eyed about the world and is a technocrat. And that's what I want. There is a gigantic difference between Plattner and MAGA and Trumpism.
Oh, yeah.
And the difference is Plattner isn't campaigning on the stuff that he once upon a time said. He rejects that. Now, maybe he's sincere, maybe he's insincere. I don't know. We'll find out. But whereas Trump campaigned on violence and Republicans are committed to the illiberal project. Ross Douthat fucking writes about this all the time. J.D. Vance talks about it, about, you know, illiberal democracy. That's what they want,
right?
Right. I mean, when Trump did the bad character things, it was never that was a mistake and I apologize. That was never like, look, I was at that rally. There was a protester screaming mean things at me. I said somebody should knock him out. You know what? I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry.
Right.
The violence and stuff is all the project.
The point, yes.
With Plattner, Plattner's position is, I did these or said these illiberal things in the past about rape or about all cops are bastards or about communism or about Hamas or whatever. And those things were wrong and incorrect. And I am firmly within the liberal mainstream.
Yes.
Now. And you can believe him or not believe him.
Right.
You can say that it's great that he's changed his mind, but the fact that he once had those views suggests to me that his capacity for judgment isn't what I want or need. Right. But it isn't the case that, like, he's doubling down and saying, yeah, fuck yeah, I got a skull on my chest. Screw you and your woke pie, right? I mean, that's not the position he's in. And so all of this stuff from the anti crowd is just bad faith bullshit. Like, there is no, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are reasonable ways in which you could say, no, Plattner's populism should be rejected. It's foolish. It is dangerous, right? It's sloppulism. Again, I'm not saying this is what I view as what I think is better or right. I've told you what I like. I would like Mark Carney, please. Could we have an American Mark Carney?
This is what's funny is, you know what? You and I, if it came down to who you and I actually would like choose as our preferences, we would get to the exact same place. I also, kind and fierce, you know, like smart. Like I want a president who is smarter than us. Like, I don't like the idea of
that. Mark Kelly seems like a very intelligent guy and courageous. I like that Mark Kelly.
That's right.
Like, this isn't about preferences. But anyway, so I just reject entirely the bad faith bullshit from the anti-antis. And I do not like the Plattner stands, because what I see from them, like, that freaks me the fuck out. That looks cultish. You can't just be like, well, I guess Plattner's the lesser of two evils. All things better. All things considered, it's better to have a Democrat vote in that seat than it is to have Susan Collins in that seat, especially because we're going to get to, you can't say that.
Right.
Right. You have to be like, no, Grant Plattner's the best.
I can say that.
No, I mean, you can say that, but for the Plattner caucus, like, right, the Plattner, I don't even know what the Plattner bros, mm-hmm, like that, I mean, you say that, and again, you might as well be Rush Limbaugh or Mitch McConnell, you know, oh, you're just a neocon who just can't wait to go back to voting for Republicans or some shit like that. Even if you're like an actual registered Democrat, like, you know, if you're Chuck Schumer, just saying, yes, I endorsed Rand Plattner, that's not enough.
Yeah.
So.
So I have my own experience with this. Because you're not online. I'm not sure if you quite grokked this yesterday. It's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about it, which is, you wrote that piece about Plattner, and it came on the same day I wrote a piece about the voters in Maine. So I had done a focus group of...
I listened to the focus group. Did you write the piece for us?
I did. There's a piece for
How
us.
How did I miss that?
I don't know, because when the Bulwark tweeted it, like when our institutional account tweeted it, and I didn't notice until a day later, but it is like filled with anti-antis being like, see, you guys love Grand Plattner. And let me tell you.
Oh, is it because you said I love Grand Plattner in your piece?
Sure didn't. But this makes me, so I am upset on your behalf.
Hold on. Pause. Guys. I want you to, everybody, just look at the counter and write this down. This is the first time in the history of this publication that Sarah has read my piece and I didn't read hers.
Yeah, I wrote a whole, here's what happened.
How does it feel, Sarah?
It makes me sad, actually, because I write so rarely. It's hard to keep up. It's part of me when I wanted to defend you online. And it was funny defending you, because I was like, yeah, I don't agree with this piece either. But also, leave him alone, guys. He's just doing analysis. He's just putting ideas. He writes 2,000 words a day. He's going to say some things that he throws chum in the water that you're not going to like. Okay. So
give me like the 30-second version of your piece.
So my piece was, because Janet Mills dropped out, we were going to do an episode for the Focus Group podcast on the Democratic mm-hmm. primary in Maine. Mills drops out. And I was like, oh, well, there was like really interesting stuff in the Focus yep. group. Mainly around why they didn't like Mills. Well, actually, the most interesting thing was they really like Mills. Mm-hmm. They all like Mills. We've done multiple groups of Democrats in Maine. They like Janet Mills. They think she's done a lot of good stuff. And none of them wanted to vote for her. So that, to yep. me, is an interesting phenomenon, right? Where voters really like the person. But and why don't they want to vote for her? One, they think she's too old.
Old.
Two, they think she's like, they know that Chuck Schumer like dragged her into the race.
The fact of having Chuck Schumer, the best thing he could have done for her is said, Janet Mills is running. Oh no.
That's right.
I don't like that. That woman's terrible. Can't we get another candidate in there?
That's right. And
that
so
would have helped her campaign.
Yeah. And people in the groups are merciless on Chuck Schumer. Like,
they
and
hate
and
him.
That is part of, so I'm writing about it because there's a bunch of phenomena in here that I think are relevant to politics right now and our politics and how it's changing in the moment. One is the anti-establishment feeling among average voters, which again, I want to just make clear, anti-establishment doesn't mean that they are anti-moderate. It means they are anti this sense that we're going to get like an old, like standby regular politician, and I want something new. You can be a new moderate. You can be heterodox. Mary Peltola in Alaska is running a fish first, Alaska first, working class, heterodox. Democrats out in Washington aren't doing enough to lower your costs kind of campaign. She is a moderate, and she is one of the best Chuck Schumer recruits of the cycle. Like in some ways, voters are being a little unfair to Chuck Schumer because actually getting Sherrod Brown and Roy Cooper and Mary Peltola, like he's got some good recruits anyway. So like there's some good Senate recruits in there. I understand why they thought Janet Mills might work, but that was a misunderstanding of the moment in Maine and what Maine wanted. But so I also wanted to know, what did voters think about all of Plattner's baggage, right? What did they think about the, because there's the question of the tattoo, which I think gets murky as to what did he know and when did he know about it? And like, does he disavow it now? Which of course he does because he's covered it up. And so, but like the stuff on Reddit too is like really gross. It's like just gross stuff. But what's interesting from the voters' perspective is how they just think like, well, I think he's changed. Like they're just like, I don't think he believes that stuff anymore. He apologized. And this is the thing. We talked about this a little bit previously, but your point earlier about the fact that like Trump, when he said the Hollywood access thing, you know, when you're a star, they let you do it. I go up, I grab her by the, you know, whatever. He didn't say, that was a terrible way to talk about a woman. No, he walked into the next debate with Hillary Clinton, flanked by Bill Clinton's accusers, and just said, it's locker room talk, no big deal. And that was on top of the way he talked about, you know, I mean, how many racist things did we have to hear from him? Mexican judges, you know, Muslims can't come into the country. You know, Congresswomen of color, go back to where you came from. Like all of that stuff. All of it over.
I want to be
over.
A dictator on day one.
I want to be a dictator on day one. Let's throw out the Constitution. Like the things that Trump said every time were consistent with the things that we said we objected to about him. He's never changed. He's gotten worse as it's gone on. And I'll tell you something about the anti-antes right now. People will forgive you for being wrong. They will not forgive you for being right. And because we have been right
JVLism.
About Trump the whole time, people right now are just like, ugh, they were right about this. And so they really want to hang us on the idea that like, okay, you guys are in, they want to act like we're endorsing like all of Plattner's baggage. But what, what makes me mad though, is I'm just telling you what the voters think. I'm like the weatherman, right? I'm just telling you which way the wind's blowing. It's raining, guys. The populace in Maine, right? The rain in Maine falls mainly in the populist plain, okay? And, like, that's what's happening. And it's a weird state. It's a really, really weird state. And this is just going back to your piece. It's why I disagree with you, ultimately, that Plattner has any national either aspirations or abilities or, like, that anything. I agree with you that if somebody unseats Susan Collins, just the same way John Ossoff, like, when people either have a big upset, right? They do something that hasn't been done. People have been trying to unseat Collins forever. If he does that, do you want me to stop and wait until after the paywall?
Yes.
I have so many thoughts on this. Yes. And so, okay, we'll do it afterwards.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.